Hi folks, Joe Stagner from Microsoft here with another Tailspin Spyworks video. In the previous video, we added a collection of bits of logic around the final checkout process. So we created the checkout page, then we added an access restriction so that the unauthenticated users couldn't navigate directly to that page. Instead, they get directed to the login page, and then when the user logs in, we hooked in some logic where in addition to handling the routing, the post-login routing, we created this migrate cart method to convert an anonymous shopping cart to an identified user shopping cart. Now that we're at this stage, the next step in our checkout process is to actually create the database logic that submits the order. So what we're going to do is retrieve all the records from the shopping cart, create a new order record, and then migrate those shopping cart records one at a time to order detail records. So to do that, we're going to create a submit order method to begin with. Now, again, this is just an independent class method. We haven't wired this up yet, but we'll do that as we move along. So here we're going to say public, returning a Boolean value. So if the submit order is successful, we'll return true. If it fails, we'll return false. We'll call the method submit order. The only input parameter that we need is the username. You'll recall that in the previous video, we converted the cart ID from an anonymous GUID to the user's name, right? So the user can only have one shopping cart going at a time. And at the bottom of our code will be a return true, assuming that everything was successful. So here in our actual submit order method, we're going to be going against the database, retrieving shopping cart ID records and creating new order and order ID records. So in order to do that, let's create a using statement, and we're going to be using the commerce entity data model that we generated very early on in building the Tailspin Spyworks e-commerce application. Let's say DB equal new commerce entities. And then within that, we'll add a try-catch block for our database access logic. In catch, of course, we're going to catch an exception, which we'll call exp, and since we're deferring implementation of all our exception handling logic, we want to make sure that we add a to-do item here. Implement exception in submit order method. Now up here in our try block, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to create a new order entry. Right, so this is going to be an order record. We'll call it new order. And we're going to populate the new order. So we'll say new order.customername. Right, remember these properties are coming from the entity data model. In this particular instance, the entity for order table records. So we're going to say the customer name equal the username that was passed in as a parameter. Next, we're going to say new order, order date, equal date time now. Now, next thing we're going to need, so we're going to say new order, and you'll note that there's a property for ship date. Well, ship date's a little tricky, right? We just don't want to put a static thing in there, but we also don't know what your particular shipping requirements are going to be. So what we're going to do here is we're just going to create a placeholder for some shipping logic. So before we go ahead and implement that, let's comment that out to get rid of the error. Let's go down here below our submit order method and let's create a calculate ship date method. So this will be, this is going to return a date time. And we'll call it calculate ship date. You would, of course, pass in whatever information that was necessary to calculate the ship date. So you would pass in perhaps just the customer number, or the customer name, or any additional information. Here in our calculate ship date, what we would do here is perhaps check inventory to find out if everything was in stock. Maybe we would find out what the zip code was for the user, determine from their customer profile what their preferred shipping mechanism was. Some shipping mechanisms are faster than others. Let's just assume that we're implementing whatever the logic is necessary to calculate the ship date. Now, in our case, we're just going to do something simple. We're going to say date time ship date equal date time now plus a couple of days. All right. So we're just adding that static logic. In your case, you would actually implement real shipping logic. And here we'll just return that value. All right, so now we can go back up here and we can say, let's set the ship date equal to calculate ship date. Next, we're going to specify that this order should be added to the orders table through our entity data model. So we'll do that by saying db orders dot add object. And the object we're going to add is that new order. And then, of course, we want to call db save changes so that that record actually gets saved in the database. Now, immediately after that, we want to do this. We want to let's create an integer new order key. All right, so this is the numeric key, the index field to our orders table, and we're going to get this for the one that we just created. So we're going to say from p in db orders select p dot order id max. Now, a quick note here. In a very high volume situation, right? So notice this gets created when we save it to the database and we're immediately retrieving it. Now, for an application this size, the likelihood of us ever running into a problem is infinitesimally small. But in a very large e-commerce site, if you were, you know, Amazon.com, where you have thousands of concurrent users, you might not want to do that. It's possible that two or more users would be in threads of execution that call dbsave changes at exactly the same instant of time. So it's theoretically possible that you could have some confusion that in between here and here, somebody else could also call save changes. So in a very high volume site, you might want to wrap this in a transaction. But for the purposes of our little e-commerce site, we're not going to worry about it. Just wanted you to be aware of it. All right, so next, let's get the shopping cart ID for the current shopping cart. So we'll say string cart ID equal get shopping cart ID. And because this code is inside the My Shopping Cart class, we don't have to access it through an instance. And next, we're going to actually retrieve the shopping cart for the current user. So here we're going to say var my cart equal, and now we'll write a query. So the query will say from C in DB view carts, where the cart ID in those records in the database is equal to the cart ID for the current user that we just retrieved, select those records. Right. So now we'll have a collection of records. Let's make that select. Right. So now my cart will contain a collection of all of the shopping cart line items, one for each product. Now, what we're going to do is for each item in that shopping cart, so we'll say for each view cart record, which we'll call item, in the my cart collection that we just retrieved, let's do some stuff. So we've got an order record. Let's use that order record and create order details. Right. So for each one of those, let's create an order detail record, which we'll call OD equal new order detail. And then we're going to set the properties for each. So let's say order detail, the order ID. Oops. The order ID is going to be this new order key. Next, we're going to set the product for this order detail record. So let's say product ID equal to the one in the shopping cart. And the quantity is going to be equal to the quantity for this item in the shopping cart. And the unit cost is going to be, the quantity is going to be equal to the one in the shopping cart for this particular item. Sorry, we were talking about unit cost. Right? So we've set the we set the order number for the master order record. Then we set the product ID, the quantity, and the unit cost. Those are the three things we need to place in order. So now we can call db.orderDetails. Add object. And we're going to add the object OD. So this is going to happen for each record in the shopping cart, but we're not done. Right? So we're walking through the shopping cart, but as we go through the shopping cart and we create order items, we want to remove those items from the shopping cart, effectively emptying the shopping cart as we convert the shopping cart into an actual order. So to do that, let's say my item, IntelliSense is helping us a little too much there, right? So let's say var my item equal, and here we're going to do a query. So we're going to say from C in the shopping cart, all right? So db dot shopping carts, where the cart ID is equal to the one we're working with, and the product ID is equal to the one we're working with, then we're going to select that record. And remember, there's only going to be one of those, right? So we're going to say select C first or default. There can only be one of those, right? So there's only one line item in the shopping cart for each product that gets put in there, right? So now my item contains a single shopping cart record. Right? We know it's going to be there, but we're just going to make sure that we don't get an unhandled exception by saying my item is not equal to null. Then let's go ahead and get rid of the record in the shopping cart. So we'll say db.deleteObject, the one we just returned. And then all the way down here, after we've iterated through the for loop, right? So through the for loop up here, we create that new order, key, and then we save changes. Then here, we iterate through all of the records in the shopping cart. We in our model against the order items table, we create new ones for each item in the shopping cart. For the shopping cart items, we remove each one that we created an order item for. Now that we've done all that stuff and we're out of this for loop, then we just want to say db save changes, and this will save the deletions from the shopping cart and save the additions to the order details table. And voila, at this point, we've now created the logic that will actually process the order in the database, converting a shopping cart to a placed order. Now, we've got to wire up some of our user interface in order to call this logic, so we'll do that now. So now we have to give the user a last chance to review the items they're about to purchase by virtue of some UI that we're going to add. So we're going to add a grid view that displays all the items, and then a final submit this order button that will result in our submit order method that we just created being called. So because we've already implemented this view all the items in the shopping cart kind of display a couple of other times in the application, I'm not going to have you watch me write this from scratch. So instead, we're just going to copy and paste the markup for a grid view. And this is nothing new. If you've been watching this video series all along, there's no magic going on here. This is a standard grid view. Here's our standard entity data source. Goes against the view cart's entity set name. We have a parameter, right? So we're filtering all of the items in the view cart's database view with the session, with the cart ID that's stored in this session ID. So there's nothing new about this for us. The only thing that is new in this markup is we've got this message here. We have a span with a message. Please check all of the information below. We also have this div checkout header. It says review or submit your order, and that's it. Now, there's one other thing that we need to do here, though. Notice here we have this on row data bound event with a handler assigned my list row data bound. Now, the reason we have this is what I'm going to do is in the original shopping cart implementation, we just had a method that figured out what the total sum dollar value that was represented by the shopping cart was, and we displayed that value in a label field. But just for the sake of offering you one more trick, one more tip for working with ASP.NET controls, in this case the grid view, we're going to add a total to the bottom of the grid view in a little bit of a different way than we've done in the previous displays. So to do that, let's hop over to Design View, and I'm going to go to our Properties dialog here, and we're going to find our grid view. Right, so my list grid view. We're going to switch to Events, and notice we've already got the name that we want populated here because I specified it in the markup, but we haven't generated an event handler for this row data bound event. So I'm going to double click, and then we get it in the code behind. Let's put this properties window back. Now we can start coding in the checkout.aspx code behind. So the first thing we're going to need, let's add a couple of using statements. One of the using statements we're going to need is system.web.security. And the reason we're going to need this is we're going to have to get the username of the currently logged in user. We're also going to be going against our Tailspin Spyworks namespace. So let's go ahead and include that. Now, we're going to have one variable that we're going to be working with, and it's going to be a decimal, and it's going to be cart total. Right, so this is going to be the total value for all of the items that are going to be ordered, and we're going to start out by setting that equal to 0. Now, here in the default page load event, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to set some things making the assumption that the shopping cart is empty. Now, this shouldn't ever happen, but of course we want to make sure that we cover all of the possible eventualities. So although this isn't likely to happen, we're going to set that checkout header. We're going to set the inner text equal to your shopping cart is empty. Now, if it's empty, we don't care about the label that tells them to inspect the value. So we'll just set that equal to nothing. And if it's empty, we likely don't want we also don't want them to see the submit button. So we'll just set the visible property equal to false. Okay. So by default, when we load this this checkout ASPX page, we're going to say, hey, just in case, let's set the header equal to your shopping cart is empty and turn the button off. Now, in our my list row data bound event handler, we're going to calculate the value of all of the items in our row. So to do that, we're going to say if e.row.rowType is equal to data control row type dot data row. That means this is a data row. This is a row whose values are bound to a record in the data set that we bound this data view to. So we're saying if the current row type is of type data row, then we're going to do some stuff. And if it is not, let's check and see if it's the footer. All right, so inside of a grid view, there can be all different types of rows. There can be data rows, a header row, a footer row. There could be other rows that we've inserted. So we're going to say else if the row type equal data row type dot footer, that's where we're going to put the total that's being displayed in the order that's about to be placed. So we'll handle that. So if it's a data row, what we need to do is add the number of dollars that are represented by that data row. So we'll say tailspin spyworks.dataAccess, and you notice I'm using my Tailspin Spyworks. You're probably using Tailspin Spyworks, and that's okay. This is just because I don't want to conflict with the fully built version of the product that I have installed here. So, all right. So we're going to say data access dot view cart my cart equal new data access dot view cart. Okay, so now we've got a view cart item, and remember this is going to be one line of the shopping cart, right? So we're iterating through the items in the grid view. So now that we have that, let's use this my cart object that we've just created, and what we're going to do here is we're going to cast this my cart object to the data item, or I should say we're going to cast the data item to a view cart object and assign it to my cart. So we're going to say my tailspin spyworks dot data access dot view cart, and we're going to pass as an assignment row data item. Right. So now we can evaluate my cart based on the properties that are a part of that row in the grid view. So we're going to say that cart total is going to be appended. So we start at zero. So if the first time through, at this point, cart total will be zero. And then subsequently for each row that's encountered, we'll just add whatever we come up with in terms of the value of the line item to the cart total that's going to get displayed later. So here we can say underscore cart total plus equal my cart dot unit cost times my cart dot quantity. Right? So we're taking the cost per item, multiplying it by the quantity, and then incrementing the cart total by whatever the product of that multiplication is. Now, in the event that we're at the footer, that means that we've bound all of the rows, all of the data rows in our grid view, and now we're at the footer at the bottom. So this is where we can say, yep, let's go ahead and let's display the total. So here we're going to say, if that cart total is greater than 0, right? So it starts at 0. If we encounter any data rows, it's going to be incremented. If we didn't encounter any data rows, then it's going to be 0. But we're going to say, if the cart total is greater than 0 because we encounter data rows, then we're going to say, first, let's say, we're actually going to set all three of these. So let's copy and paste them down here. We're going to set this value to be equal to the original text. Right, so we can hop over here and say, let's grab this as the text, review and submit your order. And then here in the label cart header, we have this stuff here, this please make sure all your information below is correct. So we'll paste that in. And we're going to set this equal to true. Now the last thing that we need to do is display the cart total that we've been calculating as this grid has been loaded. So what we're going to do, instead of using a text box, we're just going to use a cell in the last row of the grid. So we can say row dot, e, which is the grid view row event args that's passed into our event handler, row cells, and we're going to use the cell whose index is at 5, starting at 0, so this is the sixth cell over, and we just know that because we know what the display in our view is. Text equal, and here we're going to add a little text, we'll say total and then we're going to append that shopping cart. So cart total, and of course cart total is a floating point value, so we're going to have to cast it to a string, but when we do that, we're still going to want to display that string as a currency value. So we'll look like that. Right? So what we've done so far is we handled the empty shopping cart case, then we've implemented a row data bound event handler so that as each row gets loaded in the grid view, the right thing gets done. If it's a data grid, if it's a data row, we calculate the cart total. If it's the footer, we set the rest of the user interface and display the total. Now there's one more thing that we need to do. We need to implement the click event handler for the final submit button. When the user looks at the grid and says, yep, that's the order I want to place, they click on the submit button. Now we need to handle that event to actually finally submit the order, right? So this is the bit of logic in our user interface that we'll call the submit order method in our My Shopping Cart class that we created previously. So let's hop back out, scroll down, find that submit button, double click on it, and generate our click event handler. And here, let's start by saying My Shopping Cart users shopping cart equal new my shopping cart. All right, so we're going to go against that shopping cart. Now we're going to say, if the user's shopping cart call to submit order. Now remember, we're going to pass in the user's name, so user dot identity dot name. Now we know that there's a user identity that's available because they couldn't get to this page unless they had logged in, so we don't have to check it first. And if that's equal to true, meaning the return value from submit order was true, therefore the submit order process succeeded, we're going to do one thing, and if for some reason it fails, we're going to do something else. Now, if it fails, in our case, we're going to set a message. So let's set a message that says, sorry, your order submission failed. Please try again. Now, in reality, you want to do more than this. So, there's several things that you could do depending on what sort of infrastructure you have in place. But what you don't ever want to do is have your order processing system fail and lose that order to the customer. They'll likely never come back. So what you might do here is say, hey, check, the order failed. Let's pop up an instant chat session with a customer service rep to help them place this order. Or let's generate a message including the entire shopping cart and the customer information and email that message to a customer service representative, tell the user, I couldn't place your order online, but all your order information has been forwarded to a customer service rep, and you'll get emailed as soon as the order has been placed. But you definitely want to put something in place other than just telling the end user, geez, sorry, but your order couldn't be placed. Right? So in a real application, we want to be more thorough than that. However, if the order was successfully placed, then we're going to give the user a message to that effect. All right, so let's come up and say, thank you. Your order is complete. And then there's a couple of other things that we want to do. All right, so we're going to say, that button is no longer visible. We don't want the button to be there if they've already placed the order. And then we've also got that message div that we're just going to set its visible property equal to false. And we can do that because even though it's an HTML artifact, we specified run at server equal true. All right. So there. So quick review before we test. What we've done is we've implemented a grid view. And we have two specific event handlers, one for the button click event and one for the row data bound event handler. And then here we've started out by setting up to handle a condition if the shopping cart is empty. We've implemented this row data bound event handler, walking through all of the rows that get bound, checking if it's a data row. We figure out what the total for that row is and add it to the cart total. If it's the footer, then we go ahead and set up our user interface to get ready to allow the user to submit the order, and we display the total for the current shopping cart. And then when they actually click on that checkout button, then we just dim up an instance of the My Shopping Cart class and submit that order. If the order submission is successful, we tell the user it was successful and manipulate our UI a little bit. Otherwise, we're going to do something. In our case, just display a message, but in your case, in a real commercial application, you're going to want to do something more than that. So at this stage, let's go ahead, take our chances, and try and run this application and see what the state of affairs is. So we're almost ready to test the application, but one of the things that you recall is that we've been working so far with a shopping cart that allows anonymous users to place items in the shopping cart. However, we implemented logic that requires that once the user says, this is it, I want to place this order, they have to log in. What we haven't done in the Tailspin Spyworks application so far in this video series is to create the membership database. So the easiest way to do that is to go ahead into to the project setting in the toolbar of, or in the top menu bar of Visual Studio, and we're going to select ASP.NET configuration. We're going to make sure that we're using forms authentication. And as soon as this pops up, we're going to click on the security link. And here we're going to go into create user. So let's create a username. I'll just call him Joe User. Enter a password. And an email. And we'll say create user. Now, what's actually happening here, now I can close this and the debugging run for Tailspin Spyworks will terminate. What's actually happening here, if we go and look at the directory structure, is we've just added an ASP.NET DB.MDF file. Now, on your system, if you get different behavior, it's because the default membership provider configuration in your machine.config file has been set up for something else. In my case, I'm using the defaults which specifies that we're going to create an ASP.NET DB.MDF file in the app underscore data of the application, of the current application, the one that I'm running inside of, and that I'm going to use SQL Express. So that's what we get on my machine by virtue of the machine.config file. If you have, for example, set up SQL membership on your machine using a full-blown instance of SQL Server, you may get a different set of results there. So just be aware of that. All right, so now that I've created a user, now I can go ahead and say, let's fire this up. And what we'll be able to do here is go and grab some, put a thing or two in the shopping cart. Choose checkout. Notice we have to log in now. So I'll enter my username and my password. And here, now we can go to final checkout. And the last thing I can do is submit. Now notice here that here in this checkout.asbx page, the one we just implemented, notice here, now we've got a footer. It's themed, and we have the total for our shopping cart. So, you know, for some folks, that's a little bit of a slicker user interface than just having a label below and populating it. Now we can click on submit, and notice this tells us now, thank you, your order is complete. So we're done. Now, we haven't implemented yet, but what we will implement further along is some features behind this account button that will allow us to go in and review already placed orders. But for now, we've gotten all the way to the point where we've taken an anonymous shopping cart, converted it to a known shopping cart, forcing the user to log in if they weren't logged in, and then converted that shopping cart, and then processed that order. So we're at the point where we now have a complete shopping cart experience. Thank you.